Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Sex with Emily. Tonight's show is in honor of Halloween, and we're talking about some of the scariest, freakiest situations you might find yourself in and what to do about them. But first, I gotta tell you, I love my No-No Pro. You've heard me talk about it in recent weeks. I'm actually going to Mexico tomorrow, so I even love it more because it is the only way. I've tried everything. Waxing, I've tried threading, I've tried everything. It's the only way to remove unwanted hair with no pain. Zero pain. I just sit at the couch, I sit at home, wherever I am, and it's long lasting. And it's for men too. You know, that hair on your back or your neck, you're like, what do I do? How do I get rid of it? Legs, arms, face, no matter where you want to use it, you can use it. Weeks of long lasting results. Go to nonoemily.com. That's nonoemily.com. Plus, you get 100% 60-day money back guarantee. And you probably won't return it because you're going to friggin' love it like I do. And when you purchase it, you also get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. Go to nonoemily.com.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Because sexwithemily.com is where you're going to find all of our podcasts. You're going to sign up for our mailing list because I give really good email. I don't want to brag, but I do. And you can also subscribe because we do 2 shows a week. And you can get them on iTunes, which is so easy. Just show right up there in your iTunes, wherever, however you want to listen. So thanks, everyone, for doing that. And follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. all at Sex with Emily. And I'm here with Anderson. Happy almost Halloween, Anderson.
I am.
I'm so scared.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? So, okay, we're streaming live now. So every Thursday night, this is a new thing. I love the sound effects.
The song is called Halloween by John Carpenter.
All right, I need
John Carpenter.
Not really, but... okay, so 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific Standard Time every Thursday night. If you go to sexwithemily.com, you can actually watch our Thursday night show and listen and streaming. And you can also call in 1-800-LOVE-191 if you got a question. So that is pretty friggin' exciting. And I want to say... Okay,
everyone can come over and see your slutty costume.
I'm wearing a slutty costume. I am a... I'm an orgasm fairy.
Are you really wearing a costume?
I am wearing a costume.
I was making a joke.
No, I really am wearing a costume. But I didn't really put... It's hard to wear the tiara.
Oh, okay. So does that complete the costume then?
No, I've got a tiara. Okay, everyone should go to my website. You should go to sexwithemily.com or my Instagram, which is sexwithemily, and you can see the pictures of me being an orgasm fairy because I have a tutu and I have a my magic wand. My vibrator is my magic wand. And I'm going to be sprinkling samples of lube everywhere for people.
Were like you doing that at the office today?
Yes.
I'm picturing just like a trail of people slipping and sliding and falling behind you.
I was in a lube wrestling match once. That's not a bad idea to recreate that. Yeah. No, I just got dressed for you.
I like it. And everyone who's watching.
But the tiara thing, which I love.
We can imagine.
You can imagine it. Okay, so here's the thing about Halloween. You know how it's like the one night of the year that every woman's like, oh, I can dress really slutty. And then they're like, I can dress like in all the sexy ways that I want to. And I'm going to feel really, you know, hot. I'm going to wear like fishnets and do all these crazy things. And I just don't understand why it's because women are like, oh, I can't be judged. You know, I can adopt another personality. And like me, like a lot of women are judged by men and women any other time of year if they dress like super slutty or sexy. They're worried they won't be respected, right? Like they're like, oh, if I came to work as an orgasm fairy. Okay, well, okay, that's not a bad example.
Not you.
Okay, but if you came to work, okay, who else is a good example? Anyone came to work as an orgasm factory. I'm glad you brought Tara Patrick up. We'll get to that in a moment. She was supposed to be our guest tonight, but she's actually here in spirit. We're going to show you that in a minute. They berate themselves because you know, they berate themselves and others do because they're dressed up sexy and they're provocative. But I feel like a lot of that is just slut shaming and people are thinking like, God, women are so slutty. And here's the thing. Women feel so great on that day and men love it. And I don't understand why it's the only day of the year. I'm not saying we should all walk around in costumes, although that's what happens in San Francisco practically every day. Every weekend there's that costume thing. But why not wear something that makes you feel sexy all the time, whether it's lingerie? And whether it's, you know, just whatever it is that makes you feel sexy. Because, as I always say, one of the biggest killers of women's sex drive is that they don't feel sexy. So why are they waiting for this one day of the year where they're like, I'm going to go all out, but otherwise, you know, I'm just going to wear my button-up suit, you know? And I think that women should choose to embrace their own sexiness right now. And here's another thing. I always talk about role-playing being something that couples can do. And people laugh, like, oh, yeah. Like you know, if my girlfriend came over and she tried to arrest me as a sexy cop, I'd laugh in her face. But here's the thing. Your sex life gets a little, you know, it gets stale after a while. You're in a relationship for a while. You live together. Sex becomes kind of routine. So I constantly suggest things on the show that you can do to spice it up. And I've done shows on role-playing in the past. But this really made me think about the fact that I wanted to explain a little more to you. Sure, you might giggle at first. But if you can really get into another role and pretend that you're someone else. So whatever scenario, I don't care if you do the doctor, nurse, the schoolgirl getting a spanking from whatever turned you on. You meet at a bar, your partner's the stranger. It's kind of like having a one-night stand all over again if you can get into that mindset. Because when we were little, we used to play imagination, right? Didn't you play imagination? Or you do things with your imagination? What?
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about role-playing and sex and
what
it stands.
No. What I'm saying is people think, oh, I can't look at my partner like a slutty nurse because it's my wife or it's whatever. But if you get over that part of thinking that it's so silly and you get into, like, we know in Halloween, when you dress up as a costume, you sometimes used to get into it.
You go with it. Yeah, you actually become the part.
You become the part.
You hear the actors say that a lot, too. It's like, as soon as I put on the mustache, I became that character.
Right. So if you put on your sexiest outfit that make or whatever it is that makes you feel sexy, it could be a crayon. When I was in college, I wore as a crayon one.
You were pink, though, right?
No, I was red. I literally wore a cone on my head. It was not hot at all. I was a crayon. But if that didn't make me feel sexy because people weren't wearing
very phallic.
It was phallic. You're right. It's like a premonition for things to come. It was foreshadowing. But whatever it is, couples get together and try it. And for one night, women love dressing up, a lot of them. Men like it, right? Isn't it fun when your wife dresses up so you won't tell me anything about your relationship? I know. But guys go crazy for it. Women like it. And I'm just saying role-playing is kind of a fun thing to do. It doesn't have to be a whole – you have to plan it all out. You can just put on whatever it is that makes you feel sexy. And when your partner comes home, you know, you can talk about it and pretend he's a stranger, like breaking into your house and then have sex.
Mm. Breaking in.
What if there's like pizza?
Worst case scenario, though, is you set it all up and then he's late and there actually is a break-in and you think it's just your husband, like, you know, playing a part. That's bad times.
That is bad times. It's like a movie.
A lot of things would have to fall in place for that.
Exactly. Like, what are the chances that's going to happen, right? But anyway, role play. And I've done it. It's kind of fun once you get over the weirdness.
Part. What was your role play? What'd you do?
I've done like the you know, slutty schoolgirl. Nothing too original. I'm trying to think.
I was bad.
I was a bad girl.
I need to be spanked.
My ass.
4 + 3 = 9. I got that wrong.
I've done everything. I mean, even just in talk, I've like done the talking role playing.
I can see that. You're a very creative type. And I
am
see
a creative
that.
Type. And sex is the one thing, like, we've got to get creative. Everyone has to get creative because it's boring after a while.
Are you going to West Hollywood for Halloween?
I'm going to Mexico.
Oh, Halloween. That's right. It's a good thing because if you dress up like an orgasm fairy, there's a lot of competition in those parts.
I know. I saw
a lot of orgasm fairies. Is that wrong? Is that homophobic to say?
What?
Orgasm fairies? Because there's
a bunch. Oh, because they're fairies? Yeah. No, it's fine. It's L.A., whatever. We're California. People don't care. No, are you going to West Hollywood?
I'm trying to talk my mom out of going because she's supposed to be going.
Has she ever gone
before? She went last year. Yeah, she loved it.
Really? It's kind of a fun thing. It's like I used to go to the Castro in San Francisco. You do it once or twice.
I went one year. There's nowhere to pee.
There is nowhere to pee. But you're a dude. You can pee on the wall. You can pee anywhere.
Yeah, I know. But as soon as I unzip the pants, I'm afraid that
you can get arrested.
I
never know where to pee.
No, I'm afraid that I'm immediately going to start getting oral from some random guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, in West Hollywood.
Yeah, and then I'd be cheating. And I don't want that to happen. Another dumb homophobic thing that I said. Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. People won't be that offended. Okay, so here's the other thing I have to talk about. Speaking of West Hollywood.
Wee-ho.
Wee-ho. I am doing an event called Beyond the Bedroom at the Body Well in West Hollywood, November 5th at 7:30 p.m. with Connor Habib and Chris Donahue. He's a doctor. Connor is a male porn star genius writer, and it's all about what your dad, which sounds kind of funny, I know, and he's hot, what your doctor can't and won't tell you about sex. So it's all about what it means to be sexually healthy outside the bedroom, and it's like donations of like $10, $20, and you can check it out on my website or I don't know where else. It's on my website now, I think. Also, I'm giving away tickets to the Sexual Health Expo because it's going to be really fun. It's 2 days, January 17th and 18th in Los Angeles. Only conference of its kind. It is 2 days of sex education, but that sounds so boring. It's like my show, but fun. Like sex education. Like if I said my show is about sex education only, you'd like roll your eyes. But I think it's entertaining. I'd like to think I'm entertaining. And these are some of the top sex educators in the world. Workshops for 2 days, parties, award show, the latest and greatest toys. I'm giving away 25 tickets. And if you want a ticket, email me, feedback@sexwithelmy.com, and tell me why you want to go.
Sex education for adults.
Yeah.
Because when you think sex education, you think of like, you know, your fat math teacher who has to give you like a little lecture on the birds and the bees because she's mandated by law. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
But this is sex education by sexy people.
Exactly.
For adults.
And it's interesting that you brought that up because actually what we're going to get into in a moment, because I actually have something very, very depressing to tell you about sex education in America. But this show is going to be about those freaky, weird situations that you get into sexually and you don't know quite what to do about them. And we'll also be reading your emails because I love hearing from you at feedback@sexwithelmy.com. And we really are going to get better at it because like a lot of times we read people's emails and we haven't always been great at letting them know that we read them but now we have a system. So you'll actually know the episode that we read them. I mean, I'm assuming that you all listen to every single episode. But if you don't, we're going to email you and say, hey, buddy, I answered your question about your small penis or your large penis, as it were. So here's this abysmal thing. Ready? Get ready to be horrified at what schools are telling kids about sex.
Storks.
Millions of kids are sitting in classrooms this school year where they could be taught inaccuracies about HIV and sex. It's clear we're doing it wrong. I don't know about you, but I think we owe it to the kids to tell them the truth. So here's the thing. They can only teach abstinence. There's, if you look at this map in the world, it's in America, it shows that like only, like it's only probably about six or seven states actually it's mandatory. The other states, it's like abstinence. They can't talk about masturbation. I mean, it's abysmal. And it really is. Kids are learning nothing. And all they're learning is abstinence, first of all, which is stupid. They're not learning about masturbation, which I wish all I needed was 5 minutes on masturbation. And I would have masturbated way earlier because it didn't occur to me. And if you tell
that,
kids
that
to...
That does not
I
compute.
I know.
That
how did I not know? It just didn't occur to me.
I think you, like, slipped, like, on the edge of the bed one night.
I wish I was one of those girls. I mean? Like, those girls were like, I rode my bike, and I had an orgasm.
Ooh, yeah.
I was climbing the rope in the gym. Never happened.
Did you climb ropes and ride bikes?
I did everything.
I would think that, like...
I rode horses.
Well, you're putting on the crayon, you know? You might put it on, like, upside
down
by mistake.
No, I didn't know about masturbation. So, it's really scary, and the scariest part is that so many kids are learning through porn, and they're thinking, oh... That's how I should do it. I should spank her ass, have anal sex, and hopefully she'll squirt on my face. That's
or he'll squirt on her. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And all girls love the jackhammer.
Yeah. And they don't love the jackhammer. And it's also just so many men lately, it's funny, have told me that are in their like 30s and 40s dating 20-somethings. And they've said to me, several of them, it's funny, all these girls I date, they kind of have sex like porn stars. They're acting like porn stars, but I don't really believe it. It's like... They're making the noises and the moving like that. But you know that women in their 20s, a lot of them, unless you listen to my show, don't really know what feels good to them. So they're all having – because that's how everyone's learning.
Yeah, this is a really scary point that you're bringing up, which is like they're going to learn from these horrific images and videos.
Because they won't teach it in schools. You got to see these maps. You know what? I'm going to put this on my website because you can't imagine. It breaks it down by like which states will let you talk about HIV, which ones won't, which states only abstinence. And it's, remember like when Joyce and Elders was fired because she mentioned masturbation like,
yeah,
during the Trump administration?
Yeah, she was the Surgeon General for like maybe a few weeks
crazy.
Or something.
And whenever I have masturbation episodes that say masturbation on iTunes, iTunes like blocks it out. It's like M star star. Like it's like a bad word.
Now, to play devil's advocate, even if they did teach it in school,
right?
I know that like, you know, 12-year-old Anderson would choose to learn from the porn. I'd rather see James Dean teach me about porn and, you know, Tara Patrick than, say, Mrs. LaBarth, my fourth-grade math teacher. You know what I mean? I'm going to probably pick the porn anyways, but there should be a choice at least.
Well, you can use the porn to, like, jack off and stuff, but that's not how you should be learning. There's such a better way to do it. I feel like I want to create, and this
is on
my
list. You should go.
No, I want to first of all, I want to go to college campuses. So if anyone wants to support me in that, I should start like a Kickstarter campaign.
No, I think you should start like grade 6.
Yeah, that's exactly when.
Absolutely.
People are so confused, you know? So anyway, and talk to your kids about sex. Parents don't know what the hell to do. So the whole thing's a mess. But besides that, also I wanted to tell you that... That's what I want to tell you. Okay, so that was the Sex and the News story that I kind of moved into. But here's another one. Do you remember last week's show we talked about euphemisms for vagina that no one understands? So I admitted on the last show, and it was really hard for me as a sex educator, that I just don't like the word vagina. I don't like it. I don't like it, and there's not like a better word for it. Do you like the word vagina? How's your vagina? It's
a little
like
clinical.
A buzzkill.
A little clinical.
It is, but penis doesn't bother me. I just don't like the vagina. Like, you know, there's certain words like moist. Like, I don't like the word moist.
There's nothing wrong with the
How
word moist.
How moist vagina. That's
I like the sad. Fact that your mouth has to be moist to be able to say moist.
But here's some euphemisms.
You can't say moist with a dry mouth.
Moist.
Moist. Yeah.
I need some water.
All right. So what are you going to call it? Your cookie?
I'm going to tell you some euphemisms, and then we're going to vote. Me and you and the listeners. And if anyone's listening, you can call in. I'm watching 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll see how this goes. Oh, and also, if you missed this and you're listening to the podcast, because it's also a podcast, you can watch the video on our site. So this becomes a video podcast, which is very exciting. Okay, ready? There are so many pet names for vagina. It's often hard to know. I can't avoid it. It's often hard to know if a woman's talking about her vulva or her miniature poodle. Here are some other popular nicknames that confuse us every damn time. Okay, Poony.
Nope.
Or My Little Pony Enthusiast. Is it your private area? Or, okay. Chachi. Private area or 1980s sitcom spinoff star. These are true. Muffin. I call my nieces my little muffins. Is that bad?
Oh, that's real bad. If you're thinking
that. I didn't know. Is it a delicious baked good or is it your vagina?
Or is it your nieces?
I'm like my muffin top. I call them muffin tops.
Might is be that worse.
Okay, princess parts. Private area or Halloween costume accessories. Front bottom. Private area or oxymoron for morons. Front bottom. Am I?
I'm missing something.
Okay, pea pod. Private area or salad bar offering. Pea pod. Who says this? Woo woo? Like, I think that parents say this
to kids.
I've
heard of hoo-ha.
That's not even on here.
What about gash? I hope that's not on there.
Ew,
yeah, worse than moist, huh?
You know what else I hate? What does Oprah say? I hate what she says.
Vajayjay!
Oh, vajayjay. That freaking bothers me. Don't say vajayjay. I guess you just got to say vagina. And when I was in sex school, they were like, you have to say vulva, because it's technically the vulva.
But that's not a... No.
No, it is. The vagina is the vulva. Like, that's technically...
I thought the vulva was a part of the vagina.
No, it's the vulva, and the vagina is part of the vulva, but no one says vulva. So when I say vulva, and they get mad at me. Oh, do you remember that? Oh,
Seinfeld.
I have a really good Seinfeld reference coming up in a minute. However, we can do another one. When he was dating a girl that rhymed with a body part and
yes.
He couldn't remember the body part. And
he
was guessing the whole show. And he's like, is it like mulva? Because it rhymes with vulva. And then finally at the end, he's like, Dolores. That's a good one.
It rhymes with Malores.
Clitoris,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, clitoris.
That's a good one. Okay, then we got vajayjay, a canoe. Look for the little man in the canoe. Right,
nope.
Anderson?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard that. But to talk about the vagina as a canoe.
And then a poo nanny.
Poonanny.
Okay, I'm
done with
this.
I think you have to be black to say poonanny.
I'm over this. Yeah? Okay. Am I going to get in trouble?
Cookie.
Oh, listen to this one. Cookie?
What about baby maker? That's really not
good.
Ew,
no. That's a depressed. That's like, that's bad because so many people are paranoid about getting pregnant all the time.
You didn't have pussy on there. You didn't have twat.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay.
Okay, here's another thing. You know when people call semen baby batter? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
That's disgusting too.
It's kind of spot on though.
Well, it is, but I don't want to hear it talked about like that. I'd rather say, come. I want your baby batter in my face. Like, that's gross.
I want your cum in your face. It's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, but that's better than baby batter. Just brings the mood down. Changes everything. Okay. Man who met creepy woman online later found her stuck in his chimney.
Oh, I heard about this.
How crazy is this? So he was dating this woman, and he went on 6 dates with her. He met her online. And we did talk about online dating last week, some tips. He obviously didn't listen. It got pretty creepy pretty quickly. At around 5 a.m., he realized someone had tried to enter his home through the chimney, but luckily became stuck about 8 feet from the top. What'd you think, Santa or something? The Santa wannabe was actually someone the homeowner had gone on a few dates with recently. I wonder if illegal entry was part of her interests. So it's unclear what this woman's intention was, but the homeowner didn't appreciate it, called 911, and it was a horror because she was actually stuck in there for 2 hours, and they had to, like, take apart the entire chimney, and they arrested her. And so basically the point is, all you people, if you date someone online, don't invite them to your house and don't tell me where you live after the first few dates. You really shouldn't. I don't think you should come over.
I know idiots that
people are so dumb.
Meet what? People on Tinder and just have them come to their house and pick them up.
You guys are idiots.
It's
don't
crazy,
do that.
Right?
They're going to kill
you.
Do you
think they gave her like 2 hours of time served for her time spent in the...
How much did they give her? It says, I don't know. After we checked the chimney, she was arrested for illegally entering a residence and providing false information to a peace officer. The victim gave a few words about the dangers of online dating. This is the best part. He said, this is the victim. Before you have somebody come in your house, really check them out. Really give it some time before you let somebody in because they may want to stay. And then he looks at the camera and he's like, you're welcome. He's like, I'm so glad no one else is going to see this woman. He's like, you're welcome. Because it was on the news. I saw the news.
How did he discover it? Did he, like,
see her? Like, he heard her in his chimney.
Were her feet visible?
No,
out
she
top?
Was, like,
out the top?
I mean, couldn't you, like, die like that? What an idiot, though.
I mean, if he really disliked this woman, he had every right in the world to just, like, unbeknownst to him, I didn't know she was in there when I lit the fire.
I just, oh,
and
God,
left the
I
room.
She had a fire. Oh my, he could have killed her.
He could have killed
her. But that, it's like, a whole gives a whole new meaning to the word, like, dropping by. I'm just gonna drop by. Drop down. It's funny.
I bet you would have no problem going down a chimney. You'd make it down.
Oh, because my body.
Because yeah, you're quite
small. You know what's good?
I can
make it into small little spaces that other people can't. It's one of my skills. But it's not chimneys. I don't want to go in chimneys. But I feel like, you know what the lesson here is, that people show you who they are. And the issues you have on the third date, you'll likely have forever. And you might disagree with me, but think about the person you're with. And I'm not saying that you're going to break up with them. It's the person you married, perhaps. But whatever it was that kind of, I don't know, kind of bugged me about this person, it's not going to go away. Like, you could be there 30 years, but you knew it on the third date. So this guy knew she was psychotic on the third date. And it says that he went on 6 dates with her, actually. So he knew crazy. But guys like crazy. So I just wish that everyone dating, like, I wish that there was some kind of way. They used to have these sites like bad boyfriend sites. Did you ever hear this?
They don't have them anymore.
I don't know. They might. But it's like Yelp for boyfriends or girlfriends, and you could review them. But you know people would be angry. And
there's going to be a lot of probably misinformation on there. Yeah.
Like all my ex-boyfriends would hate. No, I'm friends with them all. But after the breakup, they might be angry, you know, and say mean things.
Yeah, they're bitter. They're scorned.
People came with a manual. I just feel like we've all done so much dating, and what's so wrong with, like, lining up all the person's exes? It would save you so much time and just be like, really? Like, tell me what the deal is with him. Her.
That would actually be, why don't you stop talking about it?
I know, sorry.
Yeah, because it's too good an
idea.
You gave it away.
I don't want to take it. I know, it is a brilliant idea. Okay, we're going to move into some spooky sex situations. Anderson, have you ever had a spooky, like when I ask you about like a spooky, freaky, weird sex situation, have you ever had one?
Yeah.
What happened?
I've had a number.
What happened?
Okay, I was wearing a trench coat because that's what I did in eighth grade, right?
And eighth grade spooky? Yeah. Okay.
And this one girl, we don't name names. She had a boy's name, though. Crazy as all hell.
Samantha? Sam?
Nope, don't name names.
Okay.
And I was actually in a closet hiding from her. We were at a party because somebody's parents were out of town, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like one of those. And she was told that I was in the closet, so she went in there, was on top of my trench coat, so I was trapped. I could not get up or out. And she molested me. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean she molested you? She opened your jacket?
Did things. Oh, she did lots of stuff to me. Yeah. And I was trying to get out. By the time I got out, there was bite marks all over my neck.
I'm sorry. Where were you exactly?
I was in Araby. Oh, no. Araby was the girl whose house it was.
Okay,
and I was in her closet hiding.
And you were only wearing
a
trench coat?
And I was a little drunk. We're all a little bit drunk.
In eighth grade?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were only wearing a trench coat?
No, I was wearing a trench coat and clothes underneath it, but the trench coat, kind of like a cape, will fuck you up if you're a superhero, real. Like, it'll get caught and stuff, like they talked about in The Incredibles. And the trench coat was acting like she was on top of it, and I couldn't get out of it. It was like a straitjacket almost. And she was doing all sorts of stuff to my face and, like, biting me and kissing and grabbing me and, like, putting her nipples in my mouth. Weird stuff. Weird stuff.
It's eighth grade?
Yeah.
I didn't like
this girl.
Oh, my God.
She was kind of cute, too, but I had lots of issues, lots of problems.
That's so aggressive in eighth grade.
Yeah, it almost turned me the other way.
Pants down?
She was going down there. And the weirdest thing, I was
You're
turned off.
You're the only boy in eighth grade, P.S.,
turned off,
would not be psyched. Yeah.
Turned off and scared, yet still aroused, which is more fucked up than anything, right?
I think that's really
But when I got out, everyone was laughing, and I had, like, bite marks and, like, actually blood on my neck.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
That's really
And I was, like, cool for it. Like, everyone thought I was cool for it, but it freaked me out.
You could arrest her.
Hmm.
Did you tell anyone? In eighth grade, you spread rumors like that.
Yeah, a lot of people. She didn't go to my school, luckily. But actually, no, she got kicked out, so she could come to my school. She was a crazy bitch.
She's psycho.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your scary story. All right, I'm trying to think if I have my scary story. It's funny because I didn't even pre-think of this. It'll come to me as I go through these. I'm sure I have one for each category. So the first one is inappropriate or unusual dirty talk. What do you do in those situations? And here's my Seinfeld reference number 2. Do you remember this episode?
Go on.
He's with this woman, and she wants him to talk dirty, and she doesn't really know what to do. And this is the scene that they're like in it, and she's like,
"Is it George or Jerry?"
It's Jerry. And he's with this woman, and she's like, "Talk dirty to me." He's like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "I don't know, say something." Like, and he starts getting dressed. He's like, "Oh, your panties. Are those the panties that your mother laid out for you?" And then she's like, "Ew, gross. Why are you talking to my mom?" And she, like, ran out. So then the next day, like, he and George are at the deli, and he's like, "I just said the panties." He's like, "Why would you say them? Your
what?
Mother?
No good.
You can't bring
no
the mother. You can't bring the mother into it. Who wants to talk about their mother when they're talking dirty?" So some dirty talk mistakes, because I love dirty talk, and I feel like a lot of people would like it if they got over their hump.
Corolla, Adam Carolla. That was a good one, by the way, the hump. Corolla, like, he was dating a girl once, the story that he told back on Loveline way back in the day. And she's like, "You know, say something awful. Say something bad to me." He's like, "Your mother's a bitch." That's
pretty
funny.
Is that what he said during sex?
Yeah, because he was trying to, you know, say something bad.
Right, that's hilarious. And then did she get mad?
Yeah, she didn't like it.
That's some other thing. You don't say that. That's funny for Adam Carolla. Okay, so I'm trying to think if anyone ever said. No, I don't get offended. I'm pretty good.
You are kind of unoffendable, huh?
I kind of am unoffendable.
I like that in you.
I know.
That's good.
You can
it's
get mad
point.
At me. You can call me crazy
good
on your
trait.
Show. And I don't get mad. Thanks. Okay, so dirty talk mistakes. Too much too soon. So if you go from zero to like downright nasty.
Yeah,
in the first round,
those girls are creepy.
No, or guys. You know, you got to start slow and don't go out of character, like too much swearing, all that stuff. Yeah. You think girls do more less escalation of dirty talk than men? Just you had this bad experience in eighth grade. Well, that wasn't even dirty talk.
Well, I'm thinking of this one girl. She's like really meek and quiet. And then as soon as like we kissed a little bit, she like turned into this whole, totally different person. And started going, I know, baby. That's right, baby. Kiss me again, baby. She became somebody else.
Right,
it was really horrifying.
She'd be like probably heard that on like in a porn or something. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk dirty. But the first time you're with someone, kind of feel it out. Some people might have some, you know, moral opposition to it or something. Also, being too vague. You don't want to be like, oh, that feels so good. Oh, that feels so good. The key to dirty talk is you want to be descriptive. So you want to say something like, oh, that feels so good. Isn't it hot? It's like, your hands feel so hot on my ass. Something like that. Isn't that much better?
Now, what if you weren't talking about the ass? What if you were talking about the front part?
You mean the Peapod?
Peapod doesn't work. You can't say peepaw because pee comes out of there. So it's like.
No, what were the other words for it? How about.
Vagine?
How about. I want you to F my.
Pee?
No, I'm looking for the good one. I'm looking for a good one. My punani. Or my vajayjay.
It sounds like a Hawaiian's aunt or something, punani.
I know, it's bad. But people do mess up dirty talk. So you know what I'm saying? Too much too soon, being too vague. The easiest thing to remember is just to be descriptive. And we've done shows on this before too. And do you all know that if you're like listening to this and you're like, I don't want this, that I've got hundreds of episodes that you can just look for on iTunes and you're like, oh, I want to learn more about dirty talk. But also another thing is don't memorize lines from porn like your chick did. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Like, I know what you mean. I've been with guys where I'm like, you probably call everyone baby. Or like you, like when you get prematurely babed.
It works, actually, if you're dating like two or three girls and you're afraid of using the wrong name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just call everyone hun or babe.
How soon do you babe them, though? Like, how soon
do you start? I never
babed
them. You can't babe them because you can't say babe. It's just like, yeah.
Can you say honey?
Honey, yeah. Sweetie. Thanks, darling. I had a girl, like, I don't think I ever used her name in like 3 years. I just always called her.
You didn't know her name?
No, I knew her name. I just called her different things, though, you know?
Like nicknames?
Not her name. Yeah, I didn't like her name.
What was
her?
Oh.
Mulva.
It's funny because I had this guy. I was going on a first date. I was set up with him in San Francisco, and he rings my doorbell, and I had like a speaker. You know, who's there? He's like, hey, babe, I'm downstairs. And I was like, I've never met you. I've never seen you.
It was a blind date, and he called you babe?
He way prematurely babed me. I was already like, I'm over this date before it started.
Maybe the poor guy, he's probably trying to be extra casual. He's
exactly.
Probably really nervous and
guys
he's overcompensating.
Guys do that all the time. Like guys have this nervous yawn thing they do, which is so obvious. You don't know it because you're a guy, but they like when they're nervous around a girl, they're like, oh, she's so good. Like the nervous yawn. It's funny. And then they prematurely baby up. So don't do that. Don't memorize lines from porn. Don't memorize lines from porn. And yeah, first time you're having sex, don't bust out all your dirty talk. Like I said, just take it slow. And also talking too much during sex, like too much dirty talk might be a distraction for someone. Like
I would definitely be turned off by too
much. Right? And you're like, I'm trying to focus here or whatever. But a little bit of dirty talk. And there was a quote I read last week from someone, not the Ron Jeremy one, which was really interesting that he said that he's given more women orgasms with his mouth than his penis. But there was a quote last week about women having more orgasms when they're using lube and they're having sex or guys like going down on them or fingering them or something. And the guy talks dirty to him. She goes off like that. Climax.
A lot of women do that?
A lot of women.
That's weird.
Because it's our brain. We want to hear the words. That's why I always hate writers.
What words, though? Because you guys all hate the P word, but I don't. The
cock.
Pussy word.
Pussy?
The pussy word. But, like, that's really the only one that works
in that
situation.
Pussy's fine during dirty
is
talk.
It? Yeah,
oh,
during dirty talk, right? Is it?
Yeah, pussy's fine during dirty talk.
All
no?
right. Okay.
I think, I mean, I, okay. I'm
I think
one,
it's so
I'm
bad that it's good.
Person.
You know what I mean? Maybe. Because just no other word really fits in there when you're actually
what are you
doing dirty
say?
Talk.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that feels so good
in
my
vagina.
Ew.
I don't say vagina. Here's
my
the other.
Pink parts.
Yeah, my woo-ha. My hoo-ha. What were some
hoo-ha.
Of these? The puny. Oh, baby, I want to F your puny. Okay, when I come back, I'm going to tell you the next creepy, scary, freaky, weird thing that happens in bed and what to do about it. But first, a word for my amazing sponsors. If I seem really, really clear, focused, calm, and sort of healthy right now, it is because I am on this D-Herb cleanse. And I was just feeling really tired. I needed a reset button on my body. And I've just been feeling super sluggish. And then I heard of D-Herbs. So it's a new cleanse. You do it for 20 days. And you can totally eat when you're on the cleanse. And they just send you these bottles of pills. The one that I'm taking is the full body cleanse, which turns out to be the number one selling cleanse online over the past 10 years. I'm so glad it's not like that crazy concoction of like lemon juice and cayenne pepper, which I tried that once and it does not work. You're just friggin' starving and you will never have a lemon again. So now I've got my entire team doing it. We're all doing the D-Herbs cleanse at the office because I'm like, I can't do this alone. And it's really, really fun. And over the next few weeks, you're going to start hearing the results. But this is just my first week. And I have to say, I do feel more energy. I'm waking up earlier. I'm more focused during meditation and during everything. I'm able to write more. And I just feel happier. Don't I seem happy? And it only takes 20 days to flush out the toxins. You'll be done before you know it. You can get clean and lean in 2014 with the D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse. So go to dherbs.com. That's the letter D, herbs or herbs if you live abroad. And check out, type in promo code Emily and you get a discount today for my listeners. That's dherbs.com. Or call them. 866-4-D-HERBS. And let me just tell you one thing about this is that this is the thing that freaked me about it. Even you could be weighed down by up to 25 pounds of toxic waste cooped up in your vital organs that you know about and get rid of all of it. It gets rid of all of it. So you call them, they got friendly people, and they will help you out. So also, guess what's next? So we were supposed to have Tara Patrick on the show tonight. She's a porn star. But since Tara couldn't be here, she makes a fleshlight of her vagina. She had to get it molded.
Her what?
It's her vagina. But, so I have her right here on the mic. Look at her. Can you see?
That's her vagina. The wrong way.
No, it's not. And she's got it's like a sideways eyelashes smile. On. And this is what Tara Patrick's vagina. So she can't be here. And actually, this might be better than her being here because you actually get to see her vagina.
Right. You wouldn't be able to see that if she wasn't here.
No.
She got some labs on her.
She does. She's outer labes.
Those labes are flapping in the wind.
What do you think about them, those labes? Are you
I get worried with the labes sometimes. I'm afraid I'm going to tear them. You know what I mean?
Well, nothing wrong with labes.
If the lube kind of dries up, you could rip and
but
tear
this
the
labes. But this is a
fleshlight,
everyone, of her vagina. So, she went off mic. Sorry, Tara.
Yeah, get her headphones
back on.
She's
been really quiet, too. I don't think she has much to say. I'm kidding. She's awesome. So here's her vagina. And here's the thing. Fleshlight, number one sex toy for men. And it's probably the only one you want because, you know, women, we've got so many. I love that we're on camera now because I'm like, okay, I've got the rabbit. I've got all these toys. Men have one sex toy and you have your hand. And I understand that you're all saying, yeah, my hand feels great. Why the hell do I need anything else? It's a pain in the ass. Well, what if I told you that you could use this masturbation sleeve like Tara Patrick? And they make them in porn stars. Not all of them are porn star vaginas, but they can be. And it simulates a feeling of real sex. So you actually feel like you're having sex and it can feel even better than sex. I don't know what kind of sex you're having, but that's what they say. It's a different experience. They have the stamina training unit by Fleshlight, which also helps you last longer in bed, body-safe materials, and every woman has a vibrator, so every man should have one of these. So here's a new deal for my listeners. Fleshlight, what would be a Fleshlight without a lube? They are throwing in their award-winning Flesh Lube, and if you go to my website, sexwithemily.com, and you click on the Fleshlight banner, you buy your Fleshlight, whatever one you want, and you put in code Emily, you will get free lube. And you know what? You can never be too rich, too thin, or have too much lube. So go to sexwithemily.com, Fleshlight banner, code Emily. Do it now. And I'm thirsty. All this lube talk. Okay, back to...
They have buttholes, too.
Oh, they do. Oh, I was with my gay friend today. And I'm only saying that because you're talking about buttholes, and he wants a Fleshlight. So we looked up his favorite male gay porn star, and so I'm gonna get him one of those. They have buttholes for men too. Sorry, Tara might have
men.
A butthole.
I don't think they have buttholes for women.
If you're gay, they have buttholes for you.
I didn't know that I was gay. That was gay.
No, No, no.
We got a bunch in here. Like, Rune was playing with them. And,
well, Rune would.
And
but,
like they had, it was like a beer can, and you take off the top, and
no,
it's like a
butthole. No, but women make, no, but a
and
lot of.
And producer Ann made me put my finger in it, and it was
how'd
uncomfortable.
It, feel?
It was. It got stuck.
It's funny that
it was really tight.
It got stuck. Well, that's why people like anal sex, because it's tight. But they do sell women's butts, and they sell male butts, whatever you're into. But it's funny that you said finger in my butt, and we didn't even plan this, Anderson, because guess what? The next freaky, scary, spooky situation that can happen in bed that kind of freaks you out.
No idea.
Finger in the behind.
What?
Dude, you're so good. So, okay, lesson number one. Don't make any assumptions that anybody wants anything in their behind. You can't assume it. Like, you just can't just stick your finger in there, okay? So just because your last partner really liked it, maybe you're young, you're the one partner, doesn't mean that this partner's going to like it. So like I always say, you need permission. It's not the kind of thing where you do it and you ask for forgiveness. You actually really need permission. And you can just start to rub around that area. Use a little lube. And then if she or he pushes your hand away or says no, 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 then you know they're not into the anal play. But if they're like, baby, feels so good, you can stick your finger in maybe. But don't just do it without asking, because that could be freaky weird. Has a woman ever stuck her finger in your butt and it was unexpected? I'm sure she has. Anderson.
Are you talking to me?
Who else are
no,
you talking
no,
to?
No, no, no. That's never occurred.
Okay. Well, it's occurred to
girls
me.
Have flirted with the area, and like I do the swat away. Okay,
you swat them? Do you swat, like, or you just move, slide over and
yeah, move away. I just change position, change their positions. You know
got
what I mean?
It.
So their hands are no longer accessible.
Another one, speaking of the anus, is accidental anal. Have you ever done that to a woman?
No, I'm way too large. I'm kidding. But I think that is kind
that's
of a
awesome.
Small wiener phenomena. You know what I mean?
I've had it with a medium wiener, and it was like...
It actually entered?
Yeah, like for a second. I was like they don't... Really? It wasn't on purpose. It was like truly accidental anal. Like, we were drunk and mixed up the spots. And so that's when the guy, you know, it's an honest accident. It's ouch. So again, pull it out. Use lube if you really want to have anal sex. But yeah, guys get confused down there. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. It was scary.
I remember the first time I ever touched a butthole. I was terrified.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, she was like
was
really
it
attractive.
Was the fleshlight? No,
it was an actual butt. Like, okay. I was like really young, and she was really attractive, and she was really into everything. And I was like fumbling around there, down there, trying to like find her vagina, and I went too far. And I was like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm touching her butthole right now. And then I made up some excuse. I had to get up and leave and put
did
on
you
my
go in her
clothes.
Butthole?
No, but like my finger actually touched her butthole, and I was just freaking out because it was just, what?
Did she
my
jump?
My finger actually touched another human being's butthole. It was just really weird.
That is weird. Did she jump out?
No, she was like into it. She was down to do more, and I was like a scary little kid. I'm like, what the?
I know. It's scary. Especially, yeah. The butthole just kind of shows up when you don't want it to sometimes. Here's the thing. Okay, that's just accidental anal. That just happens. That's not even like... That's just one of these freaky things because in honor of Halloween, that can happen in bed. Also, unusual kinky requests from your partner. So, for example, have you seen Californication, the scene where David Duchovny's with that woman and she asks him to the woman to punch him in the face? And they're having sex. She's like, punch me. He's like, oh my God. Okay, and then he punches her. Like, people are into some weird stuff that you might not be into. So, that can happen as well. Golden showers, bondage on the first date. These are all the things that I
Carl
feel.
From work.
What?
Having Carl over from work.
What do you mean?
Having like a third dude.
Oh,
come by.
A threesome?
Yeah.
On the first date?
Oh, first date stuff.
I think I've ever had it. No. Well, this is like, you're right. An unusual kinky request can happen. That was, I think I was thinking of the other thing.
Yeah,
it can happen anything. You don't want to force a threesome on anyone. You don't want to force anything on anyone.
Any kind of kinkiness. If
you
got
to ask
letting,
permission.
You got to ease in.
You got to ask permission. So there's also like bondage on the first date if someone wants to tie you up. You know, again, first date, I think you just kind of keep it kind of mellow. Even if I'm not saying you can't have amazing sex. And there's a lot of people who are in like the BDSM kinky world. And then you're like, okay, green light, go. This is what we do. But if you're not so sure, you should, take it slow, especially the first time. You don't want to freak anyone out. And they might be into it, but they're still, everyone's on their best behavior on the first date. Not that kink is bad, but they're just kind of having straightforward sex. So also, how to deal with it? Like, what do you do if this happens? Let them know you're not sure that I'm really ready for this yet, but you'd be willing to try something maybe down the road or something that's less threatening to you right now if it doesn't. Like, if he wants to pee on you, like a golden shower, you might say...
Sneeze first. We'll start with sneezing.
You might say, I'd rather have you throw a glass of cold water in my face or
ejaculate on my face or something.
Maybe pee in a cup and let it get the warm temperature.
You make compromise. Sex, life, commitments, relationships, they're all about compromise. Because if you're like not, because a lot of times people could throw you things out of left field and you're like, what? I don't know if I want to do this. And you got to think about it.
What do you think of that, of the one-sided fetishes?
What do you mean? Like people who are...
Well, like I always remember this Loveline call we had a long time ago where a girl was, she was in a relationship with this guy for a long, long time. And like it was their third date when he came out and put all his cards on the table and said, hey, look, I'm into a diaper fetish. She was never into it, but she dealt with it. She went ahead with it because she loved him and she just, you know, learned to deal.
So he always had to be wearing a diaper when they had sex.
But she wasn't into it, but he was.
Yeah, there's a
lot
of that.
That's not fair, right?
No, I mean, if you love someone and you can kind of get over it, like my friend dated like a cross-dressing sheep herder. Like he was like a sheep, he was like a man. Like she was living rural place, but he was very masculine, but he wore women's panties. And she's so chill. She's like me. She's like, okay, whatever. Like she didn't judge it, but a lot of people would freak out by that. So I think it depends who you're with. Also, if you have a fetish, like a true fetish, by definition, a fetish is something that is required for you to
you can't get off
good
without
sex.
It.
You can't get off without it. So, again, if you're with someone with like an extreme fetish you can't deal with, you can never come around to it, it's not going to work. But if it's just someone who's like, oh, I kind of want to try, you know, spanking you, you could be like, well, maybe I'd like a little tap first or whatever. There's always ways to like, you know, to lessen it so it's not so extreme. Okay, another... Tricky, scary, freaky, weird thing that can happen sexually is embarrassing moments. This is the drunk edition. Haven't you had weird drunk sex? Oh, I think that's when my accidental anal happened, that we were drunk.
Well, yeah. You said that, yeah.
I did say that. Okay, scary moment if he's drunk and can't get it up. What? I said that already. I'm repeating myself.
I can't
myself.
Believe that he was capable of...
It was the second, and I don't think he knew...
Were you guys getting really crazy that night with an empty wine
no.
bottle beforehand?
No,
so
I mean,
loose?
I don't remember.
Nope.
Actually, no. It was a total mistake. It was like... We hadn't even been together that long. Like, we were dating for, like, maybe, like, a month or two. And it was long distance.
I bet you it's, like, 80% chance it was a mistake.
And he was so drunk that... Yeah. Oh, no. No. 100%. Like, he didn't even remember it. For real, I know him. Like, to this day, you wouldn't remember it. I don't think I even ever told him until now. I should tell him. We're still friends. He would laugh. But I'm like, is he into this? And I just, like, moved. But anyway, it was a bad experience. Okay, drunk sex, though. So sometimes people are like, liquid courage. And you know that sometimes you drink and it like can help you last longer. But if you go over the line and you drink too much. Whiskey dick. It's called whiskey dick for a reason.
Whiskey dick.
Right? And then there's all these guys who are like whiskey dick and then taking Viagra. Or doing
that's good for the
Viagra.
Heart.
Dudes, yeah. Just stop with the, you know, just lessen your amount of alcohol. It's not a big deal unless he's an alcoholic and then it always happens. And that's a problem. But every once in a while. What are you laughing at?
I'm just picturing the guy. I like to cut my whiskey with a little Viagra.
You don't know how many guys I know that are like take drugs or do whatever, and they're like out like partying. And
oh,
like,
I've partied with those guys, and yeah. It's like they do blow all night, but they can't do blow unless
blow
they got tons
exactly.
of booze. They like to cut their booze with the coke.
Yeah, and then they
and
do
and then they do the blue the blue pool pill, and they're like strong like bull.
It's gross.
Yeah, I haven't hung out with those guys in a while. I miss them.
No, it's you. Know, yeah, good time. So I would say it's not a big deal. And if you can't get hard, just go to sleep and have amazing hangover sex in the morning.
What is that like? Hangover sex.
Do you know that a lot of men, more than women, really love hangover sex? Like it helps, makes them feel better to have sex. Do you know, you don't like having sex when you're hungover?
I mean, I've been so hungover where like I'm just desperate for out to get out of the hole, and maybe I'll go at myself just to try and you know get at least some temporary pain.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to do it with another person there. I don't think.
No, you couldn't have sex with your wife when you're hungover.
Yeah, she wouldn't allow it. First of all,
why?
She'd be like, ew, you smell like booze.
Oh, I hate when guys smell like booze in the morning. That's the worst.
You smell like an old homeless person. Get off me.
Yeah, no, she's right. It's kind of gross. So that's when you're drunk that can happen. Okay. Also, you might not be able to. What else can happen when you're drunk? I guess just like, women. Like
anything.
I'm trying to think what I've ever done drunk. I don't get that drunk. I don't get drunk enough for
crazy
drunk
stories. What were you going to say, women? Women always turn into lesbians when they're drunk.
No, women are always lesbians. They're on the spectrum and they just have the liquid courage. No, they're not lesbians. I'm not saying that every woman's a lesbian. I'm saying if you look at like the Kinsey spectrum.
It makes sense. You guys are the attractive
women
of the two sexes.
They're more open to it. And a lot of women want to try it. But there's a lot of women who are like, no way. But you get a little drunk, a little whatever. You might try
lose your inhibitions.
Yeah, you lose your inhibitions, which is why people drink, because you can like go hit on that girl at the bar, but then by that time you're too drunk and she doesn't want to talk to you. So just like learn to temper it out. Another drunk thing girls might do is I just thought of this call in Loveline we had. So many women, and I had my best friend in college did this, that she was giving a blowjob and she like threw up on his penis.
Oh, from the gag?
No, it wasn't from the gag. It was like she was like drunk.
Oh, she just got, you know what? Going up and down when you're drunk. And if you get the spins as well. Yeah.
You're getting like zombie spins. Okay, that's not a drunk thing. Okay, awkward sex injuries is the other one. Have you ever had sex wounds?
No, but a very good friend of mine, who probably wouldn't appreciate me saying it, but he's already said it on our other podcast. He broke his arm fisting a girl. Broke his arm. He had to have a cast.
Come on.
Yeah. Mike Carano. We talked about it at length on the After Disaster. He doesn't
he
like to bring it up.
Tonight?
He's not coming in because we did the show last night.
But oh, my God.
He was, he's a giver. Okay, so he was with the girls a long time ago. He was fisting her. He was like up past his wrist.
How big?
And she loved it, so he kept going even though his arm was really hurting him. And it was hurting worse and worse and worse. But he kept going, and then
it was broke
like,
it?
Broke it. Three days later, like, it was still hurting.
Is one of those, like, sex sent me to the ER thing? Like, he had to go with his hand
the
in
best is
to
that
the ER?
No, it wasn't stuck in there. But the best is he had, like, a full cast for, like, whatever it was, like, 6 weeks.
And how do you tell
people? And people are like, how'd you break your arm? And sometimes he'd tell him the truth, and sometimes he'd lie. But, yeah, Mike Carano.
No one would believe him. Can we call him right now? Like, I really want to just get me, well, not one
he'll,
day.
He'll gladly go on the show and tell
that story.
Oh my God,
that is the most amazing thing. Like, I didn't even know you could. Like, he must have just. Are you sure he broke it? Did he sprain it? Like, he'd broken muscles.
He had to get a.
Dude, did he break up with the girl too?
It wasn't like compound fracture or anything.
But did he break up with her?
I mean, eventually. They're not together now.
Oh my God. I've never heard of anyone.
He has an actual girlfriend now, so maybe he would not like to tell this story publicly.
Oh, so
I know
what?
If I had a similar story, my wife would not be real
I'm
pleased.
I'm still over you guys with girlfriends. You won't talk about your past with me. Like,
let's just
so
get rid
annoying.
Of all of them for the sake of sex with Emily.
It helps. Content is king, baby. Okay, so rug burn. I had that in college. Like, my friends would joke, like, sex wound, like having sex on the carpet.
Small
in
your back?
Yeah. And my friends were taking pictures of it and laughing. That's what that would do. Okay, penis injuries. Girls with their mouth, they can rip your... Have you heard this? Like, they rip their... Remember the open form? They rip your skin down, that woman with braces?
Mm-hmm, the frenulum?
Yeah, the frenulum or even the tip, and she ripped it all the way down. And he says, all right. Remember that I call these two peas two ways?
Yes.
It's not funny. How do you deal with this? It's just an awkward thing, and the best way to handle it is to laugh it off. And all the stuff that happens, just don't take it too seriously. I mean, unless you have to go to the emergency room, in which case you should take that seriously. But, like, weird things like that, you know, rug burn, whatever, it's funny. You could fall off the bed. Have you ever fallen off the bed?
Oh, yeah.
And I had a friend whose wife, he was performing oral sex on her in the shower, and she had an orgasm, and she fell over and she hit her head on the shower and passed out and had to go to the hospital. She was like unconscious.
Wow.
It's quite an orgasm.
I got a terrible one that
her.
I heard.
What?
But she had the orgasm.
She had the orgasm and then she passed
out. It's like
out.
The guy getting
she's
a
like,
touchdown.
Oh my God.
Like leaving his feet to catch the ball, knowing that he's gonna get smashed in the head. Like
right.
She went in for the big hit.
Yeah. Amazing.
She took it for the big O.
My friend told me this, it was his wife. I'm like, wow, it's really impressive. Like, in a way. I mean, sad. But like, you must give a killer orgasm. You must be really good at oral sex. Okay, what's your story?
It's something I heard on Loveline when I first began, but it's so awful that I still remember it. It's a good story. It's compelling, but it's hard to hear.
Okay.
A kid called up, and he liked to beat off in a very peculiar way.
Okay.
Right? He would take the plunger, and he would suction cup it to the bottom of the tub.
Okay.
And then he would lube himself up back there, and he would kind of insert it into his bum while he was playing with himself.
The
right?
plunger?
The plunger handle. Because it was
okay,
like, you know,
right.
it was lodged onto the tub.
Got it. Okay.
And he'd go ride it up and down, while holding onto the shower curtain. And the shower curtain gave, and
he
went
punctured.
Down. Yeah, he had to go to the emergency room.
How far did
lots
it go
of,
up?
Lots of, like, internal bleeding and whatnot.
He called in?
He called in with it afterwards, yeah, and explained the injury.
That's actually one of the worst things I've heard on Love. One of the most hardest things to hear that I've ever heard on Love Line, and I wasn't even...
I know, right? It sticks with me like 12 years later. I still
Dude,
remember that one.
That is bad. Oh, my God.
So careful with those plungers in the shower, guys.
Dude, men... Okay, I'm always saying that men will stick their penises anywhere, but their butts, too. Like, they're always sticking their penises and things and get stuck and hurt, but then in their anus as well. Jesus
Not every
Christ.
Guy. Come on.
Every guy. Most guys. Okay. So, if someone is too hurt... Okay, so here's what you do. If someone's too hurt to continue... You just apologize profusely and, you know, leave town immediately. No, I'm just kidding. What would you do, Anderson, if you accidentally hurt someone during sex? What would you do?
I'd hurry up and finish, and then I'd take him to the hospital.
You'd be like, let me finish. No.
No, you just stop whatever.
You're like, babe, I'm about to come. Here's an
no,
Advil.
No, whatever you need to do.
Right.
You just
true.
Stop.
So Madison, my lovely Madison who works with me, she had an experience. She was hooking up in the front seat of a car and accidentally kicked a guy's windshield wiper stick clean off his steering wheel during oral. Whoops.
Must have been good. Yeah. It just like flew off, like it broke off,
yeah,
snapped off.
Yeah, the front seat of the car, she kicked a guy's windshield wiper stick clean up. Wow. Yeah.
But Madison, she's sitting behind me. Did
Madison, come? Can she come talk on the mic there?
Yeah,
for, to
we
you?
Got some questions for you.
Yeah, Madison, I can't read. That's not, you need to tell it.
Be fair, it wasn't that it was that good. It was that when guy doesn't know what he's doing and all he's doing is just like pawing around at nerves, every once in a while he'll hit one and you kick like a horse because it kind of like tickles a little bit.
Right.
Have you ever had that like jerky reaction to oral sex before?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I have. Totally.
And so that's kind of what happened. I like hadn't really had oral before like that often, and we were in the front seat of his truck and I just kicked and I hit the windshield wiper stick thing and it just like flew off, and it was only held there by a wire. And what's worst is we remained friends. And so years later, months later, I was in the car with him and a new girl he was dating, and it was raining, and he went to go turn the windshield wiper and had to like play with the wire
because he still didn't get it fixed.
And she was like, "Oh my god, what happened? Like, how did that happen?" And he looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, one day it just started raining out of nowhere, and I went to go turn it on, and it broke." And she was like, "Yeah, I hate when that happens."
Oh, my God. But how funny that you were there for that. That's crazy. That's a good story.
And did he stop, though? Like, when you kicked it off initially, when he was down, did he stop and go, "Oh, man, what'd you do to my car or truck? What the hell?"
He peed, but I wasn't having a good time. So I was just kind of like, "Oh, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, let me pay for it." And he wouldn't let me pay for it. And then the hooking up stopped, and I was okay with it.
I picture Madison saying, "No," and then he's like, "No, it's okay, it's okay, don't worry about it." But she wants out, so she keeps kicking like other things off of his car.
Right, exactly.
His rearview mirror goes next, kicks out the
You
the
offered
front
to
windshield.
Pay. What if he was like, "You know what, I'll get back to you," and he sent you an invoice the next day. It's $22.
I could see that.
Douchebag, you never date him again. That is a funny story. Okay, so I'm trying to think sex injuries. Mine is just, I mean, I've had some injuries, but nothing too bad.
The dry anal rape.
What's the dry anal
rape? Right, that was kind of an injury.
It was so split second that I'm not even sure if it was anal rape. Like, I'm pretty sure it was, but it was like in and out. And I never really even had anal sex before. So it was, yeah, it was good times. The other thing I was going to tell you about injuries. Okay, that's all. Hygiene issues. Here's another one. These are big. These are hygiene issues is the number one killer of people's sex drive. So if you didn't shave, and you really should have shaved, I think that women think about that a lot. Like, oh, damn. Or like you're wearing bad underwear, like, you know, or like you're not so fresh. And you're like, oh, I should have done something.
Down under.
What? You don't worry about that?
Down under.
Down Under Comfort. I actually make a product called Down Under Comfort.
And it's a guard against it, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, so
knock
like,
that off your list of things
like
to
like, you might wake up in the morning as a dude, and you don't even know that you're about to get a blowjob that night. Like, you don't even know what portends for your future. And if you use it in the morning, it's like how you use talcum powder, which is super messy. It's a light, fresh scent, and you don't sweat. And it's for women, too, under the breast, down under comfort. EmilyandTony.com. Use code Emily. 20% off.
Anyway, now, you're going to Mexico, right?
I am
you
going to Mexico.
You leave tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone in that country needs the down under, especially where you're going, the part where you're going.
Yeah.
Cabo, because it's just so humid. Like, I brought my down under when I went there.
You
went
did?
To Cabo a few months ago, and the down under came in nice and handy.
Doesn't it?
There.
And when you go to the gym, oh, really? You're right. I should bring it. I have to
Very
pack
humid.
It.
Yeah. Very humid down there.
Okay. It is.
Wasn't just suggesting all Mexicans need because they're not fresh.
Do you think I should
I was talking about the climate.
Do you think I should like, be like, hey, like hola.
Be clear.
Yeah.
Hola, hola, señores. Hola. I have something for your balls, for your huevos.
I'm just going to bring little samples. No, it is true. And also, when I was in New York, I'd never really, like, I've used it. I just use it every day. But I was dripping sweat this summer because we don't have the humidity here as much. But anyway, what else? This was not I was not trying to bring that. But so always shower.
I just thought of something. You hate the word moist so much that you actually developed a product to, like, knock it out. So people don't have to talk about their moist areas anymore because they're no longer moist.
I don't want your moist balls ever again. So just use that. No, and no girl wants to go near your moist balls either.
It's true.
Your moist vagina, on the other hand.
Wow.
What? I hate those two
words. Both words back to back. You know what? Together they almost sound okay.
Those are my two least favorite words, and I just use them in a row. I'm really sorry. Okay, so just got to shower and prep beforehand. Anytime there's a slight chance, like a slight, that maybe we'll have sex, just go to the bathroom. Use a little soap, wipe up. Everyone's got like a towel in their bathroom. Just people don't do that as much as they should. Don't make a big deal of it. If it's really bad, you can also like, you feel like, oh my God, I didn't clean up. Just excuse yourself and go to the bathroom. But like, have you been with a woman and she didn't shave and you freaked out?
No.
I know we were talking about the bush here last week.
Well, I don't appreciate having to navigate my way towards the hole.
Right.
Area.
Who was telling the story here last week about showing up with pubic hair in their teeth after giving oral sex to someone? Was it Mike? No. someone.
Yeah, who was that? And they smiled. I think it might have been on Loveline, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I can't. I get Loveline. Yeah, it's all kind of blends together.
But yeah, I think like he smiled and he had a big pubic hair in between his teeth. A caller.
That's so funny. Oh yeah, that was during our open forum. Okay, another one is.
There's a great speaking. We were talking about Seinfeld earlier. There's a great episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David, and he gets pubic hair stuck back in his throat.
I remember that.
And it was stuck for like a week or two.
And he keeps going to lunch. And he's like. Right.
Yeah, he kept clearing his throat. He was telling everyone, they're like, what's wrong, Larry? You got a cold? No, it's a pubic hair. Stuck back there.
So awesome. Okay, another moment that could be scary for women is when you pull out your sex toy for the first time. That could be scary. You don't know how a guy is going to react. And I don't often suggest, like it's, again, the first date. But if your partner is a sex toy virgin, like, I wouldn't just pull out the sex swing, like, that day. Take it down.
Ease them in again.
I always take down my sex swing before my first date.
You don't actually disassemble it. You just make sure it's up on the rafters.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can just actually have this remote control sex swing.
What about this? What about if she actually...
I really don't have one.
You might.
In my garage. I've never used it.
Keep the illusion. What if she actually just inserted it beforehand, knowing that she could have sex later, and then that's how we find it? Like, he just goes in, and there's, like, something already in there.
No, you would... No? Not good? The only sex toy that you do that with it would be the Wii Vibe that's meant to be worn during sex. But if there was already, like, something like this... Okay, if we are on Ustream right now, I brought in the rabbit just to show everyone, just for fun. Check this puppy out. It has, like... Anyway, if this was inside her... See these pearls? You can't fit your penis in there. I mean, maybe you could, but would you notice?
No. I'm saying that she should already have it.
No, but if she already has inside
her. Yeah, when he tries to go, he's like, hey, what's this? Roadblock.
You're cock blocked by a cock.
And then she's like, oh, yeah, thing. I just wanted to know that I like to use toys, too. Let's
right,
incorporate.
Yeah, yes. No, I wouldn't say that. I say subtle. I say you start out with something very, very subtle because a lot of women, in fact, most, require more clitoral stimulation than intercourse. Or a man's penis can provide. Sometimes you can rub it a certain way, but a lot of women, they just need it. And so look at this cool thing I brought in. This is cool. You know, I talk about the girls, Vibratex? Look at this. You can, and it's like, for your,
wait, hold it up to the mic. I can't hear it. What does that do?
It goes in your
It looks clitoris. Like an alien's phone.
I know, but look, there's this one too. It's called the Girls by Vibratex. You can get them at Good Vibes. Go to my website, click on Good Vibes. Look at this. They're called the girls. They come in a pink leather thing. But you can just... Okay, how intimidating is this? Because guys think vibrator...
That looks like a fat tongue.
When guys think of vibrators, they think of this big...
Giant black dong.
The one that I gave Mike. This is what they think of. But this is a pink friggin' thing that goes on. You won't even notice if it's in my hand and I'm touching my clitoris. And your penis is inside me, for example. And your orgasm is like 10 times stronger. So everyone just needs to friggin' relax about sex toys. But also, like, there's also the... Oh, I brought the Mimi because I always talk about the Mimi. I told you. Like,
it's a river stone.
Yeah, it's like you take a little stone. But it's the most powerful vibrator. I love it.
This is my first time ever seeing the Mimi.
I know. I can't turn it on right now.
They're kind of cool. I could skip that across a lake bed. Pretty good.
It comes in pink, too. But, like, would you even... Okay, so if we start having sex, let's say you put your penis in my vagina. Just
hypothetical for the sake of... Yes.
And I was like, oh, baby,
it slips out your butt.
But then this goes over my, like, you know.
Yeah, it's right there. Perfect.
And you can't even hear it. It's not loud. So what else? Don't forget.
But that'd be kind of weird, though. Like, let the guy know. Because if I'm having sex with a girl and I look down and all of a sudden there's a river rock on top of a vagina.
I would always bring it up first. I'm not saying that you just grab it. But you kind of say, hey, I've got a toy. Like, how do you feel about toys? Or I'm going to show you my, can I show you my toy? It's really cool. Whatever. I mean, most people that I've been with, I guess I haven't had this. But Madison wrote a great blog about it on my website. She was kind of breaking her sex toy cherry with her boyfriend, and it's very funny about how he discovered it. A lot of women have these experiences about guys like discovering their vibrators like it's something horrible. But it's not. So you can talk beforehand. Just don't bust it out or you might make him feel threatened because the thing is, it's not even that they think that it looks like this big black penis extender.
That's like a dildo, right? It's different.
This is a dildo. No, this is actually...
Vibrator, this is dildo. Well, that's technically not.
This is a penis extender for Mike but that I gave him. But really, I'm putting it in my head. This is what they think. But men often also think that if you use a vibrator, they're not pleasing you, that they're doing something wrong. That's how they feel about lube,
Well, those are insecure guys that you shouldn't probably date anyways.
I do not date them. I actually don't. So, you want to make him feel like he's doing a good job. So, anyway, that's what we have time for. So, this was just our super scary Halloween episode, scary, sexy things that can happen to everyone. And thank you, Anderson. Everyone check out his hilarious podcast, After Disaster, and The Film Vault.
Thank you, Sugar.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Follow me. Do it. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And we'll talk. So thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Hey everyone, you know I love some sex toys, and as I was talking about, if you go to sexwithemily.com, you can find my favorite toys. You just click on the Good Vibes banner, and I've actually got a store there. And you click on it, and they carry all the best brands. You can get the Vibratex Girls, which they're great for your hand, holding your clit, for your clitoris. The Dahlia, great G-spot stimulator. And even the strongest, most orgasmic vibrator of all times, the Magic Wand. So go to my site, sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibes banner, and you'll see my favorite toys. Plus, coupon code GVEMILY20 gets you 20% off. Hey guys, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. And TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When does that happen? When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step, simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.